Blog Talk Radio.
Might as well put your hands together.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You are now once again in tune to, are you a liability or an asset to the Kingdom of God Internet Radio Show? I am Executive Director and host, Brother James Brown Jr. We do come to you live from Detroit, Michigan, each and every Thursday and Saturday night from 8 to 9 p.m. I'm asking all listeners, please get your Bibles, get your pens, and get your paper ready so that you can follow along with the man of God in the persons of Deacon Marvin Cox, as he gets ready to bring forth God's word on tonight. He's going to share with us another inspirational poem first, but I want you to have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready so that you can read it for yourself, because we don't want you to take it lightly or take it for granted that we're making up things. We want you to be able to read it for yourself. God's word said that my people perish because of the lack of knowledge. So have your Bibles and pens and paper ready as we move forward in this on the broadcast on tonight. My special guest is going to be bringing forth the word of God on tonight, in the presence of my brother-in-law, Deacon Roger Burney. He is a member of Detroit Bible Tabernacle Church, which is located in Detroit under the leadership of Pastor Kenneth Harris. Deacon Roger Burney, my brother-in-law, will be bringing forth the prayer at this time.
As the song was saying, this means war. Reminds us that we're soldiers on the battlefield, And even though we get old, we have to fight. And we got to fight until we can't fight anymore. This means war. Praise the Lord. Let us pray. Dear gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you right now. Oh, God, we just thank you for your goodness, oh, Lord. Heavenly Father, Lord, we praise you because you are the true and living God, our Creator. And, oh, Lord, through Jesus Christ, who is one with thee, our risen Savior, we come before you right now with thanksgiving. Lord, we just thank you for your goodness. And, oh, God, we praise you for who you are. We recognize that you are God and you are God all alone. There is none like you and there is none other. Oh, Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for being our keeper, Lord, for how you watch over us, Lord. And, oh, God, the angels are there doing your bidding, oh, Lord, watching over us, oh, God, protecting us from dangers, seen and unseen, Lord. Oh, we just thank you, Lord. We thank you for your goodness, oh, God. If we had 1,000 tongues, Lord, we can't thank you enough, oh, Lord. So I just praise God for each and everyone and all that are called under his name and have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ. And, Lord, we give you great honor, Lord. And, oh, Lord, we just praise and magnify your holy name, Lord. Give us the strength, oh, Father, Lord, to let the light of you, Jesus is light. He is the light of the world. Let that light shine in us, Lord. Let us meditate on you both day and night. Let us thirst after your righteousness, Lord, and hunger, Lord, for your word, the living word. Oh, we praise your name tonight. And may your word reach out, oh, Lord. And, oh, God, let it heal, Lord. And, oh, God, let it revive. And, Lord, let it break down the hosts of Satan on lies, Lord, and of sin that so easily beset us, Lord. It is in you, Lord, we have the victory. And it is in you, oh, Lord, that we claim the victory, oh, Lord. So thank you right now. And let everything that go on tonight, Lord, that you be lifted up, edified, oh, God. And we give your name all the praise and glory. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. All those that are touching and agreeing with that prayer said amen. I thank God for my brother-in-law, Deacon Roger Burney, for offering up that awesome word of prayer on tonight. So right now we're going to go to our spiritual food for thought for tonight. Tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, it's the hardest times that teaches us the most valuable lessons. Once again, tonight's spiritual food for thought comes to us saying, and this includes me too, I'm not exempt. It's the hardest times that teaches us the most valuable lessons. Well, on tonight, I want you all to, again, get your Bibles, get your pens and paper ready, especially for the new listeners. God is doing a marvelous thing through this worldwide ministry, and it's beyond my wildest imaginations and dreams, and it's going to get even greater. So we get to give God the glory for it. So right now, for you that have your Bibles and your pens and paper, please write down this following announcement. God has opened new doors through this worldwide platform for other ministries to have their own shows up under my direction as their executive director. I don't have the rest of the times, but we want to start off with the first show is titled Theologically Speaking with the host, Jose Dorsey. His show airs each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Once again, Theologically Speaking with host Jose Dorsey. His show airs again each and every first and third Thursday night from 6:30 p.m. to 7 p.m. Then we have Clinically Speaking. This is a woman of God. She is a psychologist, and she always applies the word of God to every situation. Clinically Speaking with Sierra Renee as the host. Then we want to also not to fail to mention Ministry Impossible with host Minister Sharon Rambis. Minister Sharon Rambis is a minister of the gospel. He is a man of God, and he and I, we serve under the same membership at Greater Shield of Faith Baptist Church, where our pastor and bishop is none other than Bishop James A. Jennings. So you want to tune in to these other ministries and shows that, and this is let the world know that God is not only using me, he is not only using this platform, but he have other people and other vessels that he is using to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, that let the world know through his word that if you are still spiritually blind, you who are blind in the name of Jesus, if you hear my voice on tonight, you can be saved in the name of Jesus Christ, because that's the only way that anyone can be saved. That's through and in the name of Jesus Christ. And why do you say that, Brother Brown? Because God is a spirit, and you cannot kill a spirit. Jesus Christ, God's Son, came down from glory in the form of flesh. He paid the ultimate price with his own precious blood on the cross for you and for me, that while we were yet sinners, he died for us. And that's why we have to go through Jesus Christ in order to be saved. So I pray that you have your Bibles, your pens and paper ready to follow along with Deacon Marvin Cox as he get ready to deliver God's word on tonight. But before he comes forward with the word, we are going to continue to move forward. I am going to let the listeners know that you, too, can always go to blogtalkradio.com/servants/ambassadors/vessels. And once you get there, please click on follow. I do welcome all comments and feedback from listeners. You can email me at all lowercase james_brown1558@yahoo.com or on Facebook. Right now, we're going to go to a short music break, and following the music break, we're going to come back. We're going to yield this mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. For those of you that are first-time listeners, Deacon Marvin Cox has shared his testimony once before, and I'm going to share it with you new listeners on tonight, because sometimes people make excuses as why they don't fulfill their God purposes in the earth. And some people have died and went to the grave without fulfilling their God purpose. But Deacon Marvin Cox is a man of God. He is one that is handicapped right now, and he cannot really get out to go to the house of God like in person like he used to, but God is still using him. So if he don't mind, before he do his inspirational poem, I would like for him to share with the worldwide listeners, especially for the first-time listeners, a very short testimony of his situation as to why I have him on this platform delivering God's word, because he's an example that there's no excuse. When God has called you and ordained you with a purpose in this earth that you are to fulfill for his glory, we are to do that. So God is not accepting any excuses from anyone. So if Deacon Marvin Cox can continue to spread the good news of Jesus Christ, what about you? God is not accepting any excuses from anyone. So if you're sincere about your walk with the Lord, you need to know what your God purpose is. And then once you know what it is, start walking in it, living in it, fulfilling it for God's glory. So we're going to go to our music break first. And then Deacon Marvin Cox, if you don't mind, share with the worldwide listeners a short testimony, then go straight to your poem, and then you can go right into the word after this music break. Praise the Lord, you thought I was worth dying for, and I thank God for Jesus Christ. on tonight. And you who are saved in his name, you should be grateful too that he thought that our lives were worth living, that he came down from glory and he sacrificed his life for us through the shedding of his blood on the cross. And thank God that he died for us, but he did not stay dead. He rose from the dead. And now he's sitting right now at the right hand of God, making intercessions for the saints of God. So right now, I'm going to yield the mic to Deacon Marvin Cox. Once again, Deacon Marvin Cox, could you please share with the worldwide listeners, especially for the new listeners, your short testimony, and then go straight into your poem, and then we're going to go straight into the word. Deacon Marvin Cox, I yield the mic to you now.
Amen. To my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is the head of my life, to God my Father, to Brother Brown, and to Deacon Barney, and to all of my father's children, it's indeed a pleasure to bring forth God's word, but also to let you know how grateful and how thankful I am that God spared my life. As Brother Brown was saying, I have what is known as a neuromuscular disease. It's a rare disease. It's called Charcot-Marie Tooth, where the muscles from my feet upward, they deteriorate. And I just thank God because the song that Brother Brown just brought forth, you thought that I was worth saving, you thought I was worth changing. All of these things, I'm just so happy because I might have a mobility issue, but that does not handicap my mind. It does not handicap my hands. It does not handicap the things that I knew and the things that I need to bring forth God's word. I'm just thankful to God because truly it's not a bother to me. Some people, when they get afflicted, they say to God, God, why me? But I guess because of the attitude that God has given me, I say, God, why not me? Because I know that this is just a temporary thing. This is not permanent. I know that all the trials and tribulations that we all go through, it's just a temporary thing. I'm looking forward to the other side. In order for me to be on the other side, I got to do what's right on this side. So I just thank Brother Brown for giving me that opportunity. I could use the whole allotted time that I have to tell you about my situation, but I don't have time to feel sorry for myself. I don't have time to wallow in pity. I just thank God, which leads us to the poem that, which is perfect, that the Lord has given me to share with you. And it's called, Let Gratitude Be Your Attitude. I don't know, look like, I know it was God that pointed Brother Brown in this direction. So every day of your life is a gift from God. Don't squander it. Don't waste it by being angry with anyone. Don't let it slip away by feeling sorry for yourself. Be grateful for this precious gift of life and spend it by being as happy and as thankful as you possibly can. Let your mind dwell on the good things which has happened to you. Let gratitude be your attitude. Think of your assets and don't let anyone else spoil your day for you. Enjoy every day of your life to the fullest. Realize that you can add to the joy of each day by making someone else happy. The kind of prayer that helps you get into a powerful, peaceful, grateful attitude might be something like this. Heavenly Father, help me to be grateful for being alive right now. Help me to realize that no matter what my problem may be, where there's life, there's hope. Help me to think positively and realize that thousands of miracles are happening every day. Help me to pray and help me to remember the times when prayer brought me peace. Let me be a better listener and not be self-centered. Help me to realize that if I get my mind occupied by helping and cheering up other people, I will be healthier than if I were always checking my own pulse. Help me to look for the good in everyone I meet. Let me realize that I cannot change anybody's way of thinking, only by doing the best I can and setting an example may I influence someone to change their behavior. Help me to understand that other people have as much a right to their opinion as I do mine. Let me love myself as I am. Make me realize when I am not proud of myself, and I'm letting you, my Savior, down, my Creator, down. I must be proud of the body you have given me and realize there's a purpose for every person being different. Let me realize that you are my Father, with one always to guide and comfort. Let me open my heart and my pores and let your love flow in. Let me accept the peace that I have and that only you can bring. And help me to understand that you have a plan and purpose to everything that happens. Amen. I thank God for that. Let gratitude be your attitude. I truly am grateful because my parents always told me that if you think you got it bad, just go down the road a little bit further. You complained about not having no shoes. You go down the road a little bit further, you'll see a man with no legs. So I'm grateful for this body that God has given me, and I intend to utilize it to the best of my ability, to the best of my spiritual ability, because God has given me the will so that I can do things that people don't expect or don't comprehend that I can do. So we're going to go right into tonight's lesson. It's a continuation of the lesson that was brought forth last week. And the topic is an unchanging God in a changing world. And our first original thought came out of Hebrews, the 13th chapter, the 8th verse, and it said, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But today's lesson is coming out of the same topic, but a different verse that the Lord has brought forth. And it's coming out of Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 18th verse. And I'll be reading to you from the King James Version of the Bible. And it reads, so by two immutable things by which it was possible for God to lie. It's impossible for God to lie. We might have a strong consolation for refuge to lay hold to the hope set before us. I just read to you from the King James Version of the Bible, Hebrews, the 6th chapter, the 18th verse, and may the Lord add a blessing to the reading and hearing as well as the doing of his word and his will, and may he edify our souls forever. Now, our topic is an unchanging God and a changing world. And our subtopic, if we were to choose one, is that God keeps his promises. I'm going to give you a summary of what we talked about last week, and then I'm going to provide you with scriptures, which are numerous, for tonight's lesson so that we may take time out to think, to meditate on God's word, because if he had, or if he was, a changing God, or where would we be? We're going to digress here back to Hebrews, the 13th chapter, where it says, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, when one holds that capacity, there's no change. It says the same yesterday, today, and forever. Now, if it was one word that I would use concerning or describing Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior, there are many words that we could use, but I would say in dealing with me, the one word that would constantly be on the tip of my lips is that the Lord is fair. The Lord does not waver in his love for me. Now, I may have done things over the years that may have put my soul in jeopardy. But the Lord knows that I am human, that I am subject to mistakes and to errors. That I may say one thing this day, and tomorrow I got a completely different story. Now, the word immutable in Hebrews 6, chapter 18, verse, while to substitute that word or interpret that word immutable means unchangeable, not likely to change, won't change. So, first of all, dealing with our subtopic, say God, he keeps his promises. So those things that he had promised me, those things that he had promised all his children, they have yet to manifest themselves, but they will manifest themselves. He said that it's impossible for God to lie. So what is that saying to me, Deacon? That's saying that what God says is so. It's telling us that whatever it is that God will bring forth, whatever it is that God tells you to do, if he detests something back in the day of Noah, guess what? He detests it now. If he don't like something then, he don't like it now. It was wrong then, it's wrong now. But see, we live in a constantly changing society, and yesterday's taboo is today's acceptance. Yesterday's thing that was unacceptable, it has become the norm. But see, I'm so glad that there is an unchanging God in the midst of us. Now, imagine with all the fashions that have come forth over time, how one year people were wearing afros, one year they were wearing jerry curls, one year they were wearing fades. We was constantly changing and morphing into something that we thought was fashionable at that time. But see, God is the same today, yesterday, and forever. He's the one constant in our life that we can depend on. And I'm glad because, see, anytime something is subject to change, this means that you are not going to get exactly what it was that you expected. We have went to funerals. We have went to programs. We have went to different places, and maybe a speaker didn't show up. Maybe someone was ill. But if you always read the fine print, see, that's no guarantee. The fine print on funerals, on programs, on different things, if you read that fine print gives you what is known as a disclaimer. Program subject to change. And I'm so glad that God doesn't change, because if he changed because of our conduct, oh, where would we be? But see, he has set forth certain rules and regulations for us to follow. He set up these rules in such a way that he will allow us to change as people, because you know that we go from a seed to an embryo to a fetus to a baby, to an adolescent, to a teen, to a grown-up, to an elderly person, and so forth and on. We go from having a head full of hair to having no hair at all. So God allows us to change, because in his word, it lets us know that in Psalms 102, verses 25 to 27, it reads, of old hast thou laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the works of thy hands. They shall perish. So this means that they will change. They will cease to exist. But thou shalt endure all of them, shall wax old like a garment as a vesture. So everything that is put upon the face of the earth, from the mountains to the oceans and the ice, polar ice caps, all of these things, because of erosion, because of the natural progression, the movement of the earth, because God said that they would change like an old garment. If you think about an old garment, it services you very well until it gets old. And when it gets old and it becomes torn and it becomes tattered, and I know that it's a lot of readers, I mean a lot of listeners out there who have that old comfortable shirt that's got 1,000 different bullet holes in it, or those socks or those pajamas where the husband or the wife just want to hide it and say, I'm tired of you sleeping in that old raggedy thing. But we say to ourselves, it's comfortable. Now just imagine if God was to be full of holes and not be as constant to us, then oh, where would it be? So I'm so glad that God doesn't change. He allows everything around him to change, which brings us to something that we very rarely contemplate. I have to have a made-up mind. So in the process of me bringing forth this made-up mind, I got to change the way that I think. I got to change the way that I feel. I got to change the way that I walk. I got to change the way that I talk. So he's given me, because we are all born in sin and wrapped or shaped in iniquity, and we come short of God's glory. But God is extending an opportunity right now for each and every last one of us to embrace his word, for each and every last one of us to turn, says in his word, my people are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. So we have to have a change in the course in which we go on, because if I'm on this path of destruction, then there's many times we change the route and we look up ahead and there's some sign that says detour. You can't continue on this road anymore. This road is under construction, but I'm going to modify it a little bit. This road is up under destruction. So if I go down this bumpy road that's up under destruction, then that means that the possibility that I might be destroyed in the process is very likely. So he said if they would change, they would turn. See, whenever you turn, that's making a modification of your route. So I'm so glad that God has extended that and continually extended that opportunity to me, to you, to all of us. It's not just a one-way thing. It's that invitation is extended to all of us. But see, we know that if is a conjunction, which means that when a certain thing is brought forth, then we would have a certain result. We have warned people many times, if you step on my foot again, I'm going to. So we bring forth a hypothetical to a positive thing that we and shall as an eventuality, that's something that we cannot put off. So God is letting each and every last one of us know that if we change the course of the path that we've taken, and see, the path that we've taken is not to him, but it's away from him. So, my brothers and my sisters, we're going to go back here over to Jonah momentarily. When God told Jonah to cry out against that great city because their sin had came up before him, God gave Jonah a saving word. He relented that he had made man back there in Genesis. But God, I'm not going to say that he changed his mind, because whether some of us know it or not, Nineveh did eventually get destroyed. But see, this is the mercy of God, which I'm going to point out to you. What if God brought forth mercy or was showing mercy to someone and then right in the midst of his mercy? What if you had to say, well, okay, Nineveh, you repented, but I'm going to destroy you anyway? Because, see, God knows that we change. God knows that today's yea could be tomorrow's nay. But God did a remarkable thing. During the time that Nineveh repented, all the citizens, all of the cattle, all of the children, when they repented, God postponed the destruction of Nineveh. But if you read the Bible scholars would tell you that they repented for a little while. I think it was approximately 150 years that Nineveh repented. But see, God is to say that he's not a man that he would lie. So those things that God has promised, I say God keeps his promises, but he's opened up that door and that opportunity for each and every last one of us to walk through that door. Because he's not going to change how he felt, or he's not going to change what he has prescribed for us to do. He's just given us that opportunity to say, I got that made up mind. I no longer want to participate in those things, God, that are contrary to you. He's not going to change his word, because in the beginning was the word, and the word was God, and the word is God. So even from the beginning, God is unchanged. Every article that you could read or find concerning God, you will find that he is the one constant. He is the same. He does not change. But that opportunity for us, he's granted to us. Now, I'm going to move over to Psalms 86 and 15. It reads, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Now, what if God was to change his mind about all of these things that I just read? What if he was to become unmerciful? What if he was to withdraw his compassion away from us? What if he was not to be gracious or long-suffering or plenteous? Plenteous means that he have an abundance of mercy just waiting on us. Long-suffering, what if he did not labor with us? What if God just changed his mind? I'm so glad that unchanging. If I do the things that is required of me to do, once again I'm using that conjunction if, but if I do the things that he has asked me to do and that is required of me, because whether I know it or not, whether we know it or not, we are influential citizens in God's kingdom. The things we do, people emulate us. People see the success that you have and they say, I want that same success. Brother, what did you do in order to obtain that? Say, well, I trusted God. I believed in God. I left my neighbor's wife alone. So we have influence, but if we influence people in the wrong way, I don't want that compassion to be withdrawn away from me. So God does not change. But there's been many times we as people have promised somebody something, and because they got on our nerve or because we felt that they were no longer worthy of the promise that we made unto them, then we totally withdrew our offer off of the table. Now God puts it out there for us because he does not change. His stipulations does not change. If you go to Exodus, the 20th chapter, verses 1 through 17, and as the Ten Commandments are being read, and God tell you, thou shalt not do this, thou shalt not do that, visit the iniquity of the children of certain the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. So God says that he will visit the iniquity of those that hate him. What is that saying? If, you know, if it's somebody out there that's not familiar, that God will come and see you about your wrongdoing. God will visit you personally and show mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. See, first of all, look at that stipulation right there. You got to love God. Not only love God, because there's a lot of people out there that are grateful, that love God for the things that he has done. But I love God for the things that he is continuing to do and the things that he possibly can do for me later on. Because anybody would develop a certain amount of gratitude when one does them, how they say, when one does them a solid, when one saves them from a dilemma that may have caused great consternation in their life. So God doesn't change. He lets us know in the Ten Commandments all of these things, the things that he hates, the things that he don't like, the things that we should do. And as I was describing to you earlier, if I was to give you one word concerning our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that word would be fair. And if you don't believe that he's fair, when we come before the judgment seat of God, what would be the words that come out of the Lord's mouth? Father, I gave them ample enough time to repent, but they repented not. So if you got enough time to do something, I think that's the fairest thing in the world to do. It's time to get about our Father's business. It's time to do what he says do. But see, in that fairness, says 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. So God gives us, how fair is that? He gives us 6 days to do, to provide for our family, to go out there and make our mark in the world, to do whatever it is, to have our, you know, our little pleasurable things. Why? Because he's fair. He knows that there's going to be some times when boredom is going to creep in. There's going to be some times when distractions will come and they will play with my mind, or they will play with our mind. See, God has figured all of this out. But he knows that at the end, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. I know in certain religions, they got the Sabbath on a different day. But however that might go, we know that the Lord is truthful when he says these things, when he tells us that I'm giving you the time that you need. But these corporate people now, what are they doing? They're throwing, you know, our president says that prosperity abounds. So these overtime days, and I know somebody going to get mad at me, but these overtime days, see, don't you know that demon is using overtime to allow people to withdraw. He's using to allow people to withdraw their services from God, the house of prayer. Because how many times God would be unfair for to allow you to work 6 straight days and not make no time for him? He said, remember. So this is something that you have to be consciously aware of. Don't get so carried away. Instead of us saving our overtime money, we want to get that big flat screen TV. We want to get that 83-inch. We want to do all of those things that we don't want to bank that money. So God knows that we are, our program is subject to change, but His won't. His is the one constant. It has been all the way from the foundation of the world all the way until now. The mountains, the snow may melt on the mountains. You might not recognize the seasons may change. Everything, as it was saying in one of the scriptures previous that I read to you, all of these things, they will change. They will be like an old garment. So there's nothing new up under the sun. God is not changing, and He won't change for anyone or anybody. It behooves us to look at this magnificent, magnificent, constant individual in our life that has set out and that's continued to rule and regulate and govern us in a fair manner. Even when we go against Him, He gives us that chance to repent. He gave Nineveh a chance to repent. He gave all the patriarchs in the Bible who come short of His glory, who became ambassadors for Him. He gave them a chance to do what was necessary to get back with Him. And moving right along, we go to Sodom and Gomorrah, whereas He told Lot and his wife, don't look back. There's nothing back there for you. But somewhere along the course, old Lot's wife, she wanted to change. She didn't want that new life that was waiting just out yonder ways. She looked back. Says, woe unto them that grab a hold of the gospel plow, I'm just paraphrasing, and look back. They're not fitting for the kingdom of heaven. So God is saying that whatever course it is that you're on, stay on that course. Don't allow yourself to change and go back to that way that you used to be. It's a new opportunity awaiting each and every last one of us. We could say that I've changed. If you look at the gentleman that was tearing himself and he was tearing the chains and the fetters and nothing could hold him. But then when the presence of the Lord came and that brother got himself in line and people could not recognize him because he was sitting there peaceful. He was sitting there in order. But it was a change that came over him that only the Lord can provide for us. So we have to first seek the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness. See, this ain't no, I'm not going to say it's not an easy task, but it's going to require some work on your part. And that work means that Brother Paul was saying that when I seek to do good, evil is always present. So that tug of war that we have with ourselves, that tug of war that we have with our children, that tug of war that we have within our community because of those differences of opinions that we sometimes display. It's not easy, you know, it's not easy to stay on that particular level because we're constantly having that tug of war where we've been pulled in a lot of different directions. But why not go to that one who doesn't change, that one who will lead and guide you unto all truth? Why not solicit God's help? Why not, instead of sending out email, why don't we just fall down and send some knee mail, some sincere knee mail? Because, see, now is the time. God is not going to change. He's an unchanging God, but He's a fair God. Those things, as I said, that thousands of years ago that were detrimental to us, the same thing. Don't let no man's law or No one change your mind about what it is, but thus says the Lord. And I know in our modern day society, we have modifications and provisos and so forth and on that we apply to a standard rule. Even the slickest lawyer can go back to the 1800s and say, well, this law is on the book, and you are in violation of that particular law. And you will be punished, you could be prosecuted, and you also can be incarcerated for those things. But look at God's book. Look at God's word. Look at all the things that he is not going to change that have been in his book for these hundreds of centuries. So my brothers and my sisters, God keeps his promises. He cannot lie. He cannot change. He will not change. As it said in our main scripture for the day, so by two immutable things, which means by two unchangeable things. It's impossible for God to lie. These things cannot be changed. Even old Pharaoh, or was it Moses, it was said, so shall it be said, then so shall it be done. So all the things that God has said is so. God does not change, and the world is better for it. God does not regret things because he's fair. All the things that may befall us, we go to the house of prayer on the weekends, or we look at it on TV, or we read it, and God's word is constantly admonishing us. The wages of sin is death, constantly warning us that if we don't change our wicked ways, that it's going to be a severe consequence that's going to befall us. Now, I've got one more scripture to do in this. Well, really more than one. Deuteronomy, the 7th chapter, the 9th verses. They know, therefore, that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God who keepeth the covenant and mercy with them that love and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. So God's not changing. Now, John 10:6, it says, and Jesus said unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, I just want to stimulate your imagination for 1 minute. Just imagine if the Lord didn't want to be the way, if he didn't want to be the truth, if he didn't want to be the light. Oh, where? I'll ask you the question. Oh, where would be? But because he had to go through what he had to go through, any time that body is threatened, or any time that body is, that flesh is put in jeopardy, it's going to be a protest. But I'm so glad that God doesn't change. I'm so glad that he allows me to change for the better. So may God bless you, and may ever keep you. And I'll turn you over back into the very capable hands of Brother. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. We're touching and agreeing with that message on tonight. What a powerful message on tonight. I pray that you had your spiritual ears and eyes open to receive that word on tonight, because someone needed to hear that word. Believe it or not, you said a lot in that message on tonight that I needed to be reminded of too, because the Lord said he will bring things back to our remembrance. So we cannot have things brought to our remembrance from God's word if we don't have God's word in us. So we thank God for the word on tonight through Deacon Marvin Cox. Thank God for that testimony. Thank God for your inspirational poem on tonight. And I just want to piggyback off of something that Deacon Marvin Cox said regarding God on tonight. We must also not only thank God for what he has done for us and for what he will do for us. Most of all, we must thank God and we must love God for who he is. I'm going to say that again. You and I, who are born again in Jesus Christ, we should first and foremost always love God for who he is. And when we do that, then we then can look forward to knowing that he is going to do just what he said he's going to do for us in our lives. So that's why it all boils back down to what Deacon Marvin Cox said in the Word of God on tonight. God does not change. He cannot fail. He cannot lie. So we just thank God for the Word on tonight. I pray that someone has received this Word in love on tonight. I pray that you will continue to tune in to this worldwide platform and be blessed by the Word of God, because we know it is not us. It's the Word of God that's being spoken through his vessels, such as Deacon Marvin Cox. And I pray that someone has received this Word and someone has been touched, healed, and delivered and set free through this Word on tonight. What a powerful Word on tonight. Deacon Marvin Cox, I just want to say to you, you continue to be the example that God has called you to be in this world, and even through this worldwide platform. So as I said earlier, Deacon Marvin Cox could use his physical ailment as an excuse not to continue to serve God and fulfill his God purpose. But look at God. He's using him even through this worldwide platform. The Word of God is still going forth through Deacon Marvin Cox. So it's very unfortunate some people are not allowing God to let their God purpose be fulfilled in their lives. And it's even more sad that a lot of people have gone to the grave, even some are still going to the grave, even to this day, not fulfilling their God purpose. Their God purpose is going to the grave with them, never being used for God's glory on earth. So when you have a purpose in your life that God has allowed you to realize and know your God purpose, so that's why if you don't know your God purpose, as I've said many times before, and I'm going to say it again, there's a lot of Christians that are saved in Jesus' name, and they do not know what their God purpose is. All you have to do is very simple. See, God is not like man. He searches the heart. And you have to be sincere about this thing. This is not a game. God said, you know, we need to know what our God purpose is. So when you know that you don't know what your God purpose is, I'm going to put it like this, real easy and it's real simple. Pray and open your mouth and simply ask God to reveal to you and show you what his God purpose is for your life. And believe it or not, he's going to show it to you, because you can only fulfill that God purpose. I cannot fulfill your God purpose. You cannot fulfill mine. So it's up to you. If you're born again in Jesus' name and don't know your God purpose, pray and ask God to reveal to you what his purpose is for your life, and he will reveal it to you so that you can start walking in it and you can start living in it and that you can fulfill it in the earth for his glory, even today. So those that are not saved in Jesus' name, it's not too late. If you just heard this word, you can hear my voice. All you have to do is open your heart, open your mouth, be sincere, and ask the Lord Jesus Christ to come into your heart and save you from your sins. And he will do that. He wants you to do that, because it is not God's desire that any souls be lost. So that's why Jesus came down from glory and paid our sin debts with his own blood, a debt that he did not owe, but he knew it was a debt that we could not pay. So aren't you grateful for Jesus on tonight? Thank you that the blood of Jesus is real and it still works, and it will never, ever lose its power. So we thank God for the word that has gone forth through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. And I pray that someone has been blessed by this word on tonight. It has not gone out void. God has been blessed by this word on tonight. And guess what? The enemy is even more horrified because of the word that has just went forth through Deacon Marvin Cox on tonight. So worldwide listeners, I want you to know, I may not know who you are, but God knows who you are. He sees you, and he knows your faithfulness, and he's going to do just what he said he's going to do in your life that will give him even more glory. So we're going to close out tonight in prayer, as we always do. And once again, I want to thank my brother-in-law, Deacon Roger Burney, for offering up the word of prayer in our opening of the show on tonight. Deacon Roger Burney is a member of Detroit Bible Tabernacle on the west side of Detroit, where Dr. Kenneth E. Harris is the pastor there. So I just want to thank him for praying the opening prayer on tonight, and I'm going to do the closing prayer right now, and I'm asking all the listeners, please pray with me. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, it's in the name of Jesus, we come once again to give you glory, honor, and praise for who you are. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you're not a man that you shall lie, and your son Jesus is not a man that he shall repent. So we thank you for your word, that you cannot lie, you cannot fail nor change. You are faithful to keep watch over your word, and you're performing it even in the lives of your saints, even today. So we just give you glory, honor, and praise. We thank you for your grace and your mercy toward us. We know that we're not worthy of them. We don't deserve them. Even your sufficient grace toward us. Thank you, Heavenly Father. We ask that you will continue to bless us, continue to strengthen us where we need to be strengthened, so that we can continue to fulfill our God purposes in the earth for your glory. Heavenly Father, I pray that this word has gone forth with power, that someone have yielded and have heard and received this word that will give you glory. And Father, we bless your name on tonight, because we know that you're worthy to be praised. Continue to bless each listener. Grant them the desires of their hearts. No God, on tomorrow, every door that's going to be open in your name is our prayer, hope, and desire that you will move by your spirit and move by your power through each vessel that's going to bring forth your word to the saving of many souls, that backsliders will come back to the fold, and that the body of Christ will be built up and strengthened and edified. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. So we just love you, Lord. We thank you for loving us first and in spite of ourselves. So have your way in us, and your will be done in us and not ours, that you be glorified is our prayer in Jesus' name. And all those that are touching and agreeing with this prayer, say amen. But until next time, continue to know that I love you, but know what? God loves you even more. So we're going to close out on tonight giving God glory, honor, and praise for who he is. Until the next time, be blessed of the Lord. Good night.
Almighty Savior, come on, my soul loves thee.